Blog Talk Radio.
Turn that music off how many times, and it comes back. So welcome, everybody. We're glad to have you with us tonight. I know for some of you, you haven't seen us in a while, but we're still right here, still functioning in faith, just functioning in a different place than in some extra circumstances than what we've been doing. But I want to be live tonight for everybody that joins us in our different platforms, kind of give you all a heads up of what's happening, helping you figure out how to be connected to us, because we're not going away in any sense of the word. We are not going away. We are here to stay, and we're going to go further, higher, greater, stronger, reach more people than we've ever reached, do more preaching than we've ever done, and help more people find out that God really, really, really does love them. There we go. That's like that. Here we go. Now let's get that over there. There it is. All right. So I hope you've been having a wonderful day. I have had an absolutely wonderful day. Even though I pretty much just sat in the truck all day long. Now, I know to some of you that would not be considered a good day, but I'll tell you what, I just kept saying, God, what are you doing? Where are we at? Hi, Rebecca Smith. Good to have you with us tonight. Oh, I can do that, yeah. Oh, yeah, that works real good. All right. Now, who'd I miss? Kathy Angaroni, I got her Sunday. Audrey. Here's what's been happening. I have been led by God to step into an opportunity with a local truck driving company. And doesn't seem to make sense to la cabeza, but like Dr. Winston says, when it doesn't make sense to your brain, then it definitely will start making sense. And most importantly, it'll make faith. So a lot of times when it doesn't make sense, it does make faith. And one of the things that I keep hearing the Father say to me is, just keep walking. You're going to see it. Well, then in about another 18, 20 hours, then I see something new. And what he's doing is opening up a serious level of opportunity for us here to totally reach out and touch another whole group of people. Is that tonight? No. Come on now. There we go. So thank you, Lord. We get to help people. That's my deal. I love helping people and being a blessing. And I think probably the most amazing part of this whole new level of understanding is that where we're going to come to is the ability to see God and to see our place in God. I got somebody is making a lot of noise here.
Yeah, I hear that too.
So I'll click the mute all, and we beat the noise. And then we'll come back. Now, tonight's word is going to be a good word, and you're going to want to make sure you're a part of it. Because all of our Christian life comes down to a couple things in God. And those things are, I got to know where I am, and I got to be where I'm supposed to be, and I got to walk with God like God wants me to walk with him. And, you know, I see it more and more every single day that God has our whole lives planned out for us. Our challenge is that we submit to his plan. And, you know, for a long time, they were like, well, you got to go to church. Just go to church or you're going to go to hell. We all know that it's not go to church or go to hell. We know that it is you need to gather together with the body of believers. And then it is you got to have a pastor and he's got to be a man of, and it's true. But the greatest lesson anybody's ever going to teach any of us is you've got to walk with God, because every single one of us are going to give an account for every single day of our lives. Every one of us. And there won't be any saying, oh, I had a oops on that day. And you won't, none of us will be able to look at somebody else and say, well, they did that, and so I couldn't do this. I had to do that. Well, there may be a lot of people that have done a lot of things to you, but there's no place in God to hide. But this is the coolest part about this, is I'm seeing some people follow some pretty specific heresy right now. And I can't believe they're following. I just can't believe it. And I was driving along today in my truck when I finally got headed toward Williston here. And I'm like, Lord, I don't get it. He said, well, it's deception. I said, well, all right, I get that, but what's going on? He said he wasn't careful who he surrounded himself with. I'm like, he's surrounded by the best. He goes, yeah, but you got to listen. I'm like, oh, help me listen. And he's like, well, you are listening, but that's when he said it to you. You got to know that you're going to stand before Jesus and you are going to give an account of you before Jesus. You're not going to give an account of me. I'm not going to give an account for you. Jesus will probably ask me as your pastor, you know, if you were here, but I mean, he already knows all that stuff. And according to the New Testament, I will have to give an account. And Brother John Bevere taught us that on that day of judgment, every one of us can know for sure we're going to lose in some areas of our life, but at least you know it. And that we know, now we know what we're going to be judged by. Excuse me. Judged by. So we also know how to win every day. And how do you win? You realize I'm going to have to give an account. Everything I've said and done throughout all my life. And everything I'm saying and doing right now today. Well, see, all of a sudden, when you get that focus in your life, it causes you to live completely different than any way you've ever lived. Because now you realize, wait a minute, 24/7, 365, I'm going to have to give an account of this minute. Am I where God has designed me to be right here, right now? Or am I just playing my own game and doing my own thing? And you know what? Nobody can answer that question for you. All of us will be able to tell whether or not you're doing the right thing, because we'll be able to see whether or not the blessing of the Lord's on your life. And it doesn't matter how much persecution comes at you. It doesn't matter. The blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. So I got to get right to the word because it's going to be a real short word tonight. And then I'm going to finish up the read the words that I'm missing and get us caught up there. And on we go. Somebody shout it with me. I love the word. You have to kick your mic back on, Roger.
I love the majestic word.
I love the majestic word of God. Hold your Bible up. Let's make our confession together like we do every time we come here. This is my Bible. I believe what God's word says. I am what Jesus says I am. Because he is the great I am. The Holy Spirit of God, my resident teacher, is making his word come alive in my life tonight. I receive the word of God and plant him as a seed in the good soil of my heart, producing a hundredfold return in my spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen and amen. Now, open your Bibles up with me, and let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we'll begin with verse number 14. Actually, let's call it 11 through 18. 2 Corinthians 6, 11 through 18. And then we won't read all that, but at least that's the reference point. And that way people can find it. I'm going to go down to verse number 14. Here we go. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, in the church, many times we felt like that was talking about marriage. And of course it is, but let's keep reading. For what fellowship, koinonia, two fellows in a ship, what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Well, now all of a sudden it's not, now it's not just you're a Baptist and I'm a Methodist, so we shouldn't get married. Now we're talking about righteousness and unrighteousness. And what communion has light with darkness? None. And what accord agreement has Christ with Belial? None. There's no such thing as white witchcraft. That's a lie. That's right out of the pit of hell. What part has a believer with an unbeliever? None. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? None. Zero. For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God. Now, this is God Almighty making a declarative statement about you and me. I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Want to shout it with me? I am God's people. Amen and amen. Verse 17, come out from among them. Who? Belial, wickedness, perversion, everything he just talked about. and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. Not like, oh, you're going to give me cooties that can't be around you. No, it means don't go be in agreement with that unclean work. And God said, and I will receive you. There is no way to take out these verses in the New Testament that tell us to live separate, other, pure lives that is away from the world. Verse 8, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. Luke chapter 15. Luke 15, 11 through 32. Luke 11, 15 to 32. Watch this. Hey, Joaquin, it's good to have you. We just got started. And tonight we're talking about where it is you fit in the body of Christ. So get you a pen and some paper, write down some verses, and meditate it. Here we go. I'm in Luke 15. For those of you that's putting verses in, thank you. I so appreciate that, because that just really makes it so much simpler for everybody to be able to find where we are. Luke 15, verse 11. Then he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that belongs to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possession, prodigal or wasteful living. Most people know this as the story of the prodigal son. But we're going to see a different picture tonight. Watch this. 13, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed in fire, where he wasted. 14, but when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and the citizen sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. Now, I don't know about getting a job. Excuse me. I don't know about getting a job for somebody that they're not paying you or at least feeding you, but hey, you know. Let's keep reading. Verse 17, and then he came to himself. That's usually what happens when you end up feeding pigs and you're a long ways from home and you're all out of money. All of a sudden, you come to yourself. How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise, go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now, I'm gonna give you a word here tonight. Sister Sunday and I was talking about it when we first came on the Zoom program tonight. And that's that word trauma. Can you imagine the trauma this young man went through? Having wasted all of his father's money, wasted his whole inheritance. Can you imagine that feeling of trauma when all of a sudden you're like, I don't have a thing left. And that in itself, you got to realize, that's going to do much to cause that young man to say, I can't go back and face my father. But did you notice that even though, yes, he wasted it all, you reckon the father knew he was going to do that? Yeah. Well, what mistake have you made in your life? What sin have you sinned in your life? What inconsistency has there been in your life that you really didn't want to be there, and yet it was there, and you've asked God to forgive you, and he has, and yet sometimes you still beat yourself. Well, here's what we know. Long before you ever get back and hear the Father say, hey, don't worry about it. Long before that happens, the Father is watching for the Son to come home and come to his senses. I'm on a Facebook thread with a couple of guys, and I'm uncertain of all who they are completely, but they're serious apologetics people, and they like to argue the Bible and refute the theological belief systems. And wow, they were really after one today. But I just got thinking, I mean, think about that prodigal son. The biggest word he had to overcome was the word if. If is probably the biggest word in all the Bible. Because I don't know how many times to tell you. Thousands of times God said, if you do this, I'll do that. You can't take it out of the Bible. It's there. So probably the biggest word in all of the Bible is the word if. I should say it's the word right after the blood of Jesus. Well, okay, maybe we should say it. Excuse me. It's after the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus, then the word if. See how that goes? And then we start arguing about it. And I'll stop you arguing. That young man had to overcome that if. I did all that. What if I go back and my father doesn't receive? Well, I can tell you right now, it's better to go back and do everything in your power to get things right than it is to stay out there confused, lost, eating pig swine, pig food. And groveling in the mud with a bunch of pigs. Don't stay there. Get out of it. Don't stay with the pigs. It doesn't matter what it costs you. Get up and get out of there. Get away from them. Get away from the pigs. Get away from witchcraft. Get away from perversion. Get away from, you know, lust and adultery. Get away from, what's the word I'm looking for, Jesus? The financial sins. Where you're just taking advantage of the widow and the orphan. Get away from it. Just get up and get away. I remember hearing Dr. Barclay talk about his life being something that he had to get away from. And he literally had to change his phone number, I don't know, two or three times, whatever it was. But it doesn't matter, because if that's what it took to get away from those people that was going to continually drag you down, then that's what you got to do. Let's keep reading. I'm in Luke 11:20, and he rose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, I love this, his father saw him, had compassion, ran to him, fell on his neck, and kissed him. All you got to do is turn toward the Father, and he's coming to be a part of your life. Now, don't miss this next part of this story. Because the father didn't say, I can't believe you spent all my money. I can't believe you took your inheritance and you went off and blew it all with all those wild whores. That's not what he said. But that's what a lot of religious people would say. Watch what Jesus said. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. And the father said, shut your mouth and listen to me. Yeah, we probably didn't say that. Father said, servants, bring out the best robe, put it on him, and get my ring and some sandals. Wait, he hasn't even gone and taken a shower. He's He's still got pig stuff all over it. And the father interrupts his statement of, I'm just a worm and not worthy to be called your son. And he's like, servants, bring the best. This is my son. He's royalty. Look what it says, 23, bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead. When you haven't come back to God, the Father, to your family, it's dead. And is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry with him. Now, I want you to think about this. The father's greatest desire in the story of the prodigal son is that both of his sons would act like heirs and not like servants. There's a whole lot of people in the kingdom that don't realize you're not a servant of God anymore, although you will serve. You are now an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus, a child of the Father God. And yes, you will serve. But when you and I think about royalty and people of high value, high wealth, what do they spend their life every day doing? They all find a worthy endeavor to put their money into that they believe in, you know, like global warming and race extermination. That's what some of the big wealthy people today believe. And, you know, medical experimentation on humans. God, for help them, Lord. Turn them from their wicked ways. But what? So someone in that position is going to spend their time doing a worthwhile process. Finding a way to grow the family business, making a good name for the whole community. That's what everyone does. And that's what you and I are supposed to be doing every day on this earth. Now, here's the challenge that the church has faced. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. This is going to be very simple and very quick. So I'm at about 20 minutes now. So hang on to your hat, Ben. Hattie. Verse Ephesians 4:4. This is why the Holy Spirit began to have me do this every time we came together. So we get it inside of our system. There is one body and one spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling. There's one Lord. He's Lord of me and he's Lord of you. There is one faith. You're in the faith. I'm in the faith. You believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. There's one baptism. You're buried with him in baptism. You're raised to new life. One God. Only one. One Father. There's only one. And he's the Father of all of us. Who is above all and through all and in us all. So when you view you and I as the prodigal children and God, we came to our senses and came to God and said, God, help me. He was already waiting for us, but he wasn't waiting to make you a Christian. He was waiting to make you an heir of the kingdom of heaven and a joint heir with Jesus. And for you to understand your place in God, the eyes of your understanding being light. Well, the more revelation you get, the more you realize, I have a place in this body. Now look at verse. Oh, they're all so good, but you got to just go to verse 16. Ephesians 4:16. Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you, Sunday. We love you. Thank you for your help putting the verses in. Watch this. 4:16, from whom the whole body joined and knit, any knitters, together, by that which every joint supplies. You're a joint and I'm a joint. You might be the knee joint, I might be the jaw joint. It don't matter what joint you are, because God's the one that makes you the joint. Knit, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. And because they do, it causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now listen, you may have said, well, I found this as my church, pastor, and I'm here and you're my pastor. And glory be to God. And if that's the design of God, then hallelujah, let's make it happen. And I believe there'll be thousands of people that that same process happens to. But you didn't find your place in the body to sit and do nothing. And you don't have to ask me what to do. Now, you can call me and say, Pastor, what can I do? And the first thing I'm going to say is you and I are going to pray and say, Father, what do you want them doing right here? But here's the cool part about it, is the Father is longing, John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Turn there real quickly. The Father is looking for, longing for. How's it say? Seeking. The Father is seeking those to worship him in spirit and in truth. And that word means he's longing for you to become one with him. But here's the revelation. Every day you got to realize, wait, I got to give an account of this day. Father, what do you want me to do here at the community of faith? Some of you you're going to get real serious with this now. And you're going to be like, what do you want me to do with this community of faith? And he's going to tell you something. You're going to be like, well, I ain't no way I can do that. Yeah, there is. And that right there, what every one of us does, our gift, is exactly what it's going to take to promote us to the next level. Because it's not just my gifts working. It's all of our gifts working. Some of you are going to be teachers. And you're going to have a whole program right here. Right here in the community. You may never have one all by yourself, but you'll have one right here. How do you know that, Pastor? Because I can tell the gift of God's on the inside of you. You don't have to worry about opposing me because you don't oppose me. If you're opposing anybody, you're opposing God, and I don't recommend that. Just start saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'll do that. Yes, Lord. And then text me, email me, and say, Pastor, what do you think about this? The first thing I'm going to say is, let's go to prayer. Father, show us how this works. I really like this story. My goodness, I ate that cayenne pepper, and now my nose is running. Anyways. It's a story Dr. Winston tells. How God told him to start a business school. And he went to a couple in the church. They both had MBAs from Harvard or something in the business. He's like, you know, you guys are in business school. God's telling me to start a business school. You know, do a little study. See how long that would take us. And they're born again, spirit-filled believers. They're men and women of God. They've been with Dr. Winston for a while. So they went and they came back and said, I think we could get it all started in about 2 years. And Dr. Winston said, well, all right, I'm going to go to prayer on it then. And so he went to prayer and said, Father, what do you think? And the Father said, I want to start it in, I don't know, 2 months or 3 months, whatever it was. Well, now hold it. As soon as Father says that, you and I got to look and say, well, how in the world is that going to happen? Well, how it happens is there's a whole bunch of people that are standing on the sideline that we didn't have any idea. We're like, they're supposed to be right in the middle of this doing this. And all of a sudden we realize, oh, I got to bring that gift alive, that gift God's bringing you and you, and you're going to do that. Oh, yeah, glory be to God. But you're not doing it because I'm assigning it. You're doing it because you got alone with God and said, what am I supposed to be doing here? When I stand before you, Jesus, what am I going to be judged for my work I did at the community of faith? Because I know I'm going to be judged, and my judgment will be light and easy, and I'm going to judge myself now so that when I stand over there, all you're going to have to do, Jesus, is put the torch to it so we see what's left, and I'm going to be shouting, well done, good and faithful servant. And the crown that's there, I'll be like, look at this crown. I'm going to be able to cast this before the feet of Jesus. But I don't give that account to Dr. Barkley. I don't even give that account to you. I give that account to Jesus. And most certainly, you know, if you're here and you're a part of this ministry, you know, God put me in charge of it, so you'll be a part of the plan that he shows us, but that's just the glory of this thing. How do you want us to do this? Oh, well, then let's just go do that. It's just better not to have a big old schemed up plan that you think you thought yourself. No, just show me what to do. I'll go do it. And then he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The greatest effect of the story of the prodigal is the father saying, I don't want you, my sons, to act like servants another day. I want you to be my heir. I want you to be the leadership, the royalty of this family like you're supposed to be. Certainly the younger son went and squandered and lived and came back. Certainly, that's part of the story. But the father was seeking before that young man would find his place in the family kingdom. As soon as he came back, he knew he's going to have an education now. And that education is going to be the best thing for him. I remember, I don't remember where I was at, but I remember the story. Guy came out on the platform, the stage, and said, well, I just had the most expensive college education I've ever had in my life. And, you know, everybody's like, oh, I wonder what that is. And he said, I had one employee cost me $50,000 yesterday. It was when, like, in the 90s. And I'm thinking, $50,000 in one day. And you know what he said? He said, I know. All y'all are thinking, I bet you fired him on the spot. And he said, no, I didn't fire him. I brought him in the office and said, son, you done got the most expensive education of anybody in this company. I'll bet you never do that again. And the guy said, you're not going to fire me? He goes, I'm going to get that $50,000 out of you. You just learned a valuable lesson. I'm going to get my money back for you learning that lesson in my family or in my company. And you know what? The man became one of the most valued employees he had. That $50,000 was just a great education. Amen, Sunday. I am an heir of my father. I am an heir of my father. Now, you and I got to continually look at this thing and say, Father, show me, you Father, show me where do I fit in this body? And then write it down. Write it down immediately and write it in a notebook where you can find it so you're not losing these valuable notes from God. And then begin to say, I don't even know how. You're going to end up saying, I don't know how to do that. And he'll say, I'll show you. And what's he asking for? He's asking you and me to trust him. And you'll come to me and say, Pastor, God keeps saying this. Well, as soon as you say it, I'll be like, wow. All right. And my first words are going to be, well, let's pray. Why? Like, I'm God. I'm not God. If he don't show it to me, then I got to go pray and say, now, Father, what did you show them? Show it to me. Let me give you one more set of verses and we're going to receive communion. Watch this. Isaiah 55, and it's the whole chapter 1 through 13. Isaiah 55, 1 through 13. But I'm going to be focused on verses 1 and 2, and then 6 and 7, and, I don't know. Just stick with me. Isaiah 55, 1 through 13. The New King James says, ho, or hello, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, look at this. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. You might say, well, how in the world am I going to come buy and eat when I know I have no money? Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Then he says, why do you spend your money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen careful to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Look at that last statement. And let your soul delight in abundance. You want to read it again? I do. And let your soul, mind, will, and emotions, delight in abundance. Well, Pastor, why is that even in the Bible? You know what I got to tell you? I don't even know. Except that our Father wants us to live life and life more abundantly. Isn't that something? Verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. You ever been chasing after God or had God wake you up in the middle of the night over and over and over? And you're like, wow, what are you doing? I'm tired. I can't hardly stay awake. Oh, Jesus, help me. But see, that's him showing up in your bedroom saying, come on, get up, talk to me. Oh, wow. You know, wasn't too long ago, probably a month ago, Holy Spirit, you know, God's Holy Spirit, somebody kept showing up in the bedroom and I'd wake up and I'd be like, oh, I should get up and pray. But I'm really sleepy and I haven't had any sleep. Well, you know what's happened to me last week? I've been awake 24 hours in the semi. What am I doing all night? Talking to God. I've been awake right now for 36 hours. But it doesn't matter. Don't go ooh or ah. Seek the Lord while he may be found. When he's talking to you, seek him. When he gives you one set of verses or two or three verses, and he just keeps giving that to you, then just quit worrying about the rest of the whole Bible and stick on those three verses. You might have one. I've had him give me one verse and say, stay there. Ah, really? Yeah, stay there. Why? Because there's a revelation there. If you can't get your bills paid, quit worrying about when the rapture is going to happen. Figure out how to get your bills paid. If you need health in your body, it doesn't matter what the false prophet and the Antichrist is going to do. You better figure out how to get health in your body from this book. This book is not just a religious indoctrination book. This book is your roadmap to a perfect relationship with your Father, and he says, I want your soul to delight in abundance. You just read it right there. And he said, come by without money. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. Oh, Father, I can tell you're here. Verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. As the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. But he did not say that your ways and my ways couldn't be reach his. He didn't say stop trying. He's telling you to elevate. Come up here. As the rain comes down and doesn't go back up, verse 11, so shall my word be. It goes forth out of my mouth. Well, that's what this is. This is the mouth of the word of God speaking 66 different books. Thank you, Jesus. And I just encourage every one of you to pray this prayer with me. Father in Jesus, pray it. Everybody pray it. Father in Jesus' name, help me know my place in this body, that place of total excitement and joy, seeing thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, you guys aren't used to me preaching that short. Don't let, as pastor would say, don't let that word get out. We don't want it to ruin our reputation as diligent students of the word. But it's such a simple word. Open your Bible, read what it says, and simply believe it. You're a part of a great body of believers who are chasing after God. You have a pastor and his wife who don't want nothing. The only thing we want is to delight in the will of God every day. Therefore, you and I are not going to go astray in Jesus' mighty name. If I don't stop, I'm going to keep talking. Now, I went and got everything else before I got started except my communion juice. I'll be right back. Somebody sing or something while I'm gone.
Here we go.
Thank you, Jesus, for your blood and your righteousness. Thank you, Jesus, for your communion elements. Thank you that you took the whole Passover meal and put it in this one beautiful communion sacrament. We receive it from you tonight. Here we go. Turn with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Yeah, that message that I just spoke, you're going to have to go back and hear it again. It's, you know, it's only 30 minutes long. I don't even know if you can get a revelation in 30 minutes, can you? Yes, you can. All right, welcome, Sunday. Welcome, Kathy, Rebecca, Roger, Brother Joaquin. Bless you, brother. Good to have you with us. And everybody that will come in the future. Let me say it again real quick before we start. Holy Spirit gave me an opportunity. Asked me to step into it. Not sure how long it's going to be, but I am just being obedient to God, and I can already see God's hand is moving mightily. And so here we go. And we're going to watch God do a marvelous work in our lives. So if you've been wondering where I'm at, that's where it is. Taking me a little bit of time to get things up and rolling. But I think we should pretty much be there. And all of the programs will be back to normal
and we'll be able to be flowing right along just like we've been. Jesus' mighty name.
First Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he blessed it, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Why? Because if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. You know, when you think about that statement, and all of a sudden, you begin to realize our Father has done such an amazing, mighty, marvelous work in our lives. His perfect love has cast out all fear. Why? Because fear has torment. He just cast it all out. It's all gone. And that's why we love to do this work we're doing right now, this communion. Perfect love. Cast out fear and the trauma that goes with it. Ready? Everybody that's within the sound of my voice, raise your hand and say, trauma, leave my life now. Get bold with it. Take your hands off me. Leave me alone. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Now, let's pray the prayer of salvation. And as we do, you will be made right with God on this tonight. Here we go. How about it, Zoomers? Can you pray the prayer of salvation with me? Brother Roger?
I'm ready.
Kathy Angaroni? All right, Kathy. Here we go. Everybody pray it together with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
According to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life. And I will not perish.
I will not perish.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again on that third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
Put your hands out and say, I receive you into my life, Jesus.
I receive you into my life.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
other thoughts on my mind.
I thank you for it. Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language. And live a successful life.
Live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen.
Amen.
Now, for all of you that prayed that prayer, thank you. Welcome to the kingdom of God. It is our distinct and awesome pleasure to say, welcome, 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 welcome to the family of God. We're glad to have you here with us. And you know, you might say, wow, Pastor, I can tell something's going on the inside of me. Because if you meant that prayer from the bottom of your heart, what's going on the inside of you is Jesus just came inside of you. If you've never prayed that prayer before, tonight was the first time, then that means you've lived every day that you've lived up till now without your spirit man being born again. And now, for the first time ever in your life, your spirit man's been brought to life and opened up to a relationship with Almighty God. That's what just happened to you. I became a Christian. I joined the church. Nah. You just got a wide open relationship with God your Father. That's so much more than I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I'm a child of God. I'm an heir of God. And that's what this body of believers right here will teach you. And we're glad that you're here with us, whether it's live right now or you're going to be a part of this someday in the future. And so thank God you're here with us right now. And we really do. We welcome you. My email address, contact information is right down there in the notes of this program. You can find us on the website, the communion services on the website. And the links to all of our platforms is on the website. And I got 10 videos I'd love to send you. It's in a playlist. You just listen to it however quickly you want to. And I encourage you, just keep listening to it. Why? Because that's that word that's in there will get down inside and absolutely transform everything there is about you. And that's what you're looking for, is transformation. God doesn't want you to join the church. There's nothing wrong with going to the church. He wants you to have a relationship with him. And when you're born again, that's what you get, is a relationship with Almighty God. And that's what we talk about every night right here on Establishing Your Faith. Well, that's it. Let's receive our communion elements together right now. Ready? Hold your elements up. Get you some grape juice and bread or a cracker. Let's receive them together. Roger, Sister Kathy, Sister Rebecca, you guys are all welcome to pray out loud with me. I like it. Makes it sound like church. Pray this with me. I bless and sanctify these elements. Caught them all sleeping. Hey, wake up. For this time of communion with you, Lord. And now let's pray over this cracker. Jesus, you were wounded, you said, for my transgression, you said. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace, he took the whipping for you, is upon you, Lord, and by your stripes I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, in my willpower, my emotions. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Every joint supplying in my body from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ. In my community, and right here in this community of faith, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Let's receive his broken body together. Now, we lift up the cup of blessing. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed. By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with you, my Father. By the blood of Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission, you said. And my life forever, I am a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. And I thank you for it. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find grace, mercy, and help for my assignment every day. By the blood of Jesus, and the word of my testimony, I overcome. By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By the blood of Jesus, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever. And there's no more condemnation in my life. My conscience is purged. My robes are made white. And I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. When you come for me, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. Amen. Let's receive his bloodshed again. Say this with me. I receive the blood of Jesus, purifying every organ system in my body. Organs be healed because the Holy Spirit lives in you, moving through you. Said, I have eyes that see, ears that hear, a mouth that tastes, heart that beats. All of my systems are healthy, healed, and whole because of the blood of Jesus. Well, let's sing that song. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood of Christ. Thank you, Jesus, you have washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, then changed my life, brought me from the darkness into glorious light. Well, thought I knew that song better. I really like it. And if you don't know it yet by Crystal Gayle, it's a really good one. And I encourage you to begin to know it. And it'll be a blessing. Father, we pray for Sophia. We pray for our sister, Kathy Angaroni, having had surgery, and she's recovering tonight. We declare We pray for Sister Francetta. We declare life and life more abundantly in all of their lives. Life, life for Brother Chris Timmer, in the mighty name of Jesus. Abundant life for our brother. Abundant life for Sister Kathy, for Mary Pastore, for Dane and Derek and Joey, for Nevaeh, for Rivers, all of these that we're praying for. Michael, we have spoken to you, Spirit, that you go and you never return. And we thank you, Father, that you have heard our prayer. And we know. We know we have the petition that we ask. And we're moving, we're marching and moving and growing in you. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, that's all I got, guys. Let me say this in closing. Make sure you click like, subscribe, and hit the bell on all these platforms so that as soon as I go live, you get a notification to the best of their ability to do that. Because we truly want to have you guys. Bless you, Rebecca. We love you. We truly want to have you guys with us. And we have some very specific times. The noon prayer time changed to 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Sister Leanne's doing it. And I believe that we should be back into the flow of this thing like we've been. And God's hand is on this thing. We're going to see a great big amazing picture of what God's what God is getting accomplished in you and me every day. Father, we speak life. We speak life to Brother Tanveer in Pakistan. Rain, stop now. Jesus spoke to the storm and it ceased. He did. And then he said, who's got a fish dinner? Let's multiply it and feed everybody that's hungry. And we speak that over Pakistan. We declare over the mighty United States of America, the body of Christ all around this nation stands up and does the work of God. And does the work of God in Jesus' mighty name. Bless all of my brothers and sisters. Wherever they go and whatever they do, we declare Kathy has 20/20 vision, whatever you call 20/20 ear hearing, and her tongue and all the effects of that stroke are gone forever. In the mighty name of Jesus. All right. Till we see you again, Sister Lan, I'll see you first thing in the morning, 9 a.m. for prayer, and then I'll see you back here again tomorrow night. For more of the program we call Establishing the Faith. Go ahead, Kathy.
As I say, amen. I receive it.
Amen. And you should receive it.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rebecca, for your help tonight. Appreciate it. Remember this, as we say every time we come here, we love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. And
bye.
Jesus. All right. Goodbye. Love you guys. See you soon.
Love you.